So tonight's program is the third in a series of fascinating talks by Dr. John Neeters on traditional Chinese medicine. Dr. Neeters is a doctor of acupuncture and oriental medicine, a licensed acupuncturist. He teaches at acupuncture colleges and hosts two radio shows. His first talk gave us an overview of the principles of traditional Chinese medicine and its relevance today. The second one talked about food as medicine, and tonight's is about the more specific problem of mental acuity, and its and how it is addressed by traditional Chinese medicine. So if we've learned one thing from Dr. Neeters' talks, it's that traditional Chinese medicine is about staying healthy and the prevention of diseases. Hence, the interest in finding out tonight what traditional Chinese medicine has to offer in the area of dementia prevention and brain health. Without further ado, I'd like to ask for a warm welcome for Dr. John Neeters tonight.
You'll have to move it.
Thank you. Thank you for coming out. I rarely leave the provinces of Alameda, you know, across the bay, but it's always fun to come here and speak at the Commonwealth Club. As Sylvie said, this is my third time here, and it's I do a lot of presentations, I do a lot of talks, and this is really my favorite place to come. And there are a couple reasons for that, but the main one is that it's such a fun audience. Last time, and we'll try to be better, I promise. Well, I don't promise we'll be better, we'll try to be better. They physically had to throw us out because people had so many questions. So I'm going to go through a presentation. I'm famous for making my presentations way too long, so I cut this one in half. But I got here early, so I added some things back in. So we'll see how it goes. Two things I want to mention, one little housekeeping thing before I get started. Things that acupuncture and Chinese medicine treat very well, but also in each article, in each paper, along the side, there are lists of things that you can do for yourself. So this one is boost your brain power with acupuncture, but also then foods that you can eat, et cetera. This is free. You might as well go ahead and sign up. We don't send you any, you know, advertising. So as I talk later on, I'm going to talk a bit. Again, there's a lot of information, so it'll be a bit on a lot of things. I'm going to speak about some of the conditions that exacerbate pre-dementia into dementia, right? Those are really critical. And one of the key things that will do that is anything that causes inflammation. Typically, in any given year, I do two radio shows and people call in and ask questions, I will calm them down about influenza, because there's a lot of money invested in having people think that we're going to have influenza epidemics. And every year, I actually get on one of my newsletters the dates, the very dates that you're going to hear the announcements that this is the worst flu year in history, and then the dates that they publish and say, oh my God, we're running out of vaccines, and then the date when they say, oh, we've got more vaccines. Isn't this a miracle? This year, it's not hype. This is going to be the worst influenza year we've had in a very long time. And there are many reasons for that. But the major one is we have a different strain that hasn't been around for a while. Usually we get H1N1s. Most people have been exposed to those. This year it's an H3N2 that's the most common. So you need to do everything you can to prevent getting influenza. There are many things that you can do. Number one, high levels of vitamin D. People with high levels of vitamin D have a 90% reduced risk of developing severe influenza symptoms. Now, there are a bunch of other things on the list, but at least do that one. Because, again, if you catch influenza, it more than doubles, probably triples, your rate of developing Alzheimer's disease. Okay? So it's very significant. Even a common cold, will increase dementia risk over the following year by 60%. So you need to do everything you can this year. So take everything I'm talking about to heart, okay, because this is going to be a difficult year, and I want you to protect yourselves. So let's go ahead. I'm going to talk about three primary factors that lead to dementia. And again, these are big groupings of categories because there are hundreds of individual items. And what you can do with traditional Chinese medicine to prevent them and to treat them. Now, what I added back into the presentation was a bunch of stuff about acupuncture. You know, kind of my assumption was everybody knows about that, but I heard three different people say, dementia? Acupuncture, what would acupuncture have to do with dementia? What would Chinese herbs have to do with dementia? So I added a bunch of acupuncture and traditional Chinese medical stuff in here so that you understand that not only does Chinese medicine treat dementia, it's really the only thing that treats it with any level of success. Western biomedicine fails miserably at most chronic diseases. They're great with acute problems. They fail miserably with most chronic diseases, and particularly with Alzheimer's disease. So three major things we're going to look at, how prevalent Alzheimer's is. We're looking at as being number six. I also highlighted diabetes because many doctors call Alzheimer's type 3 diabetes. So if you have diabetes, your risk factor for Alzheimer's goes up exponentially because both are diseases of inflammation. Diabetes isn't a disease of bad blood sugar. It's a disease of inflammation that leads to high blood sugar. Alzheimer's is a disease of inflammation. For example, people that have high levels of allergies have higher levels of Alzheimer's. People that take drugs, antihistamines, to lower their symptoms have even higher levels of Alzheimer's. Because histamine, this product that's given off when we have an allergic response, is exceedingly inflammatory. And that fries your brain, to put it in really simple terms. You know, there's lots of complex biochemistry. But it fries your brains. And if you take an antihistamine, what that does is it blocks the uptake of histamine, which means the histamine stays in your system and fries your brain even faster. Okay, so we're going to look at a few of these issues. But again, Alzheimer's is number six on the death list. There are several different types of dementia that are identified. I'm not going to go into a lot of this, but cortical means it's the outer level of the brain. That leads to memory, language, thinking type of problems. Subcortical means it's deeper. And that leads to more emotional and movement type problems, but also memory. And then when we look at, what do I have on here? Oh, primary, or, you know, obviously progressive is progressive. Primary means it's due to Alzheimer's or some other direct cause of dementia. By the way, dementia and Alzheimer's are not the same. Alzheimer's is a form of dementia, okay? The secondary forms are due to accident or physical disease. So getting hit in the head, diabetes, heart attack, stroke, all of these increase dementia risk. 84,000 deaths a year in the United States, while other forms of death have gone down 12 to 18%, other than the ones on this list, which are chronic, deaths from dementia have gone up, and Alzheimer's have gone up 47% in the United States. So this is a horrible epidemic. 232,000 Americans in nursing homes, 15.5% of all the people in nursing homes have dementia or Alzheimer's. Hospice care discharges, $40,000 a year. The total cost, I want you to look at those zeros. That's a lot of zeros. I didn't say $242 billion because we've, you know, you listen to the news and they throw billions and trillions around. That's a lot of zeros. And that's the cost as of about 3 years ago to take care of Alzheimer's patients and futile attempts to prevent or cure Alzheimer's. And again, almost all dementia is preventable. In fact, I'm going to tell you a little story, actually. I was doing a doctoral program in San Jose, at Five Branches University, and there was a medical doctor from Stanford who was teaching the course. That course is about 50% Western biomedical and about 50% Chinese medical, and there's a great teacher there. He's the head, or was the head, of family practice at Stanford, and he's the anti-me, where I can put massive amounts, numbers of words and information in small places. He's very Southern. He talks real slow. And he was talking about the dilemma in healthcare. Right? We have these drugs that are incredibly expensive, Aricept, Cognex, to treat dementia. And they're effective in about a quarter of the cases, a little bit. They slow it down. They don't stop it, but they do slow it down for a while, but only in 25 to 40% of cases. And he said, you know, the dilemma is, where does that money go? Who do we give these drugs to? And I said, but Sam, that's not the dilemma. The dilemma is, why don't we prevent dementia? I said, you know, I'm sure you've seen the studies out of Canada that were replicated at UCLA showing that just giving people fish oil, right, fish oil, 50 cents a day, lowers Alzheimer's risk in the most likely group to develop Alzheimer's, which are people with what's called the APOE4 genotype. It lowers their risk of developing dementia by 89%. Give them some fish oil. I said, and then, you know, there's the other study, which I quoted to him, showing that beta-carotenoids, right, simple antioxidant beta-carotenoids, will lower risk from APOE4 by 50%. And he said, well, John, I can see that you don't understand what standards of practice mean. Okay. He goes, you don't understand. That's not the standard of care, to give people fish oil and beta-carotenoids, and I could lose my license for that. And I said, okay, you give them the drugs, but you give them the fish oil and the beta-carotenoids too. He goes, John, now I know you really don't understand medicine at all. He said, that's adding something to the standard of care. Still ain't the standard of care, son, right? And that was the story. So for a buck a day, you can take this most likely group to develop Alzheimer's and lower their risk by 90%, but it's not the standard of care. He could lose his license. That's what he was saying. Probably wouldn't, but it is actually quite possible. All you have to do is get six medical doctors in the area to testify that that's not the standard of care, and you can bring all the science in the world and stack it on a table to oppose them, and you will lose. Because it's not about science. It's about what everybody's doing, right? So, anyway, it is preventable. So, if you have early stage dementia, y'all remember why you're here? First test of the night. There'll be a couple, so stay awake. How many of you noticed the misprint on the sign walking in? How many of you didn't? That should be everybody else, in case you didn't know. How many of you didn't notice that it said, stay shrap? Okay? Not noticing that is on my list of things that are possible cues that you may be developing dementia. All right? Stay shrap. All right. Okay. So here are 11 symptoms of dementia. Memory loss that disrupts daily life. Now, if you're under 40 and you're in a college program, you can be forgiven for all of these things. I say that because there are quite a few students here tonight. It is totally acceptable for you to forget everything. All right? Okay. You get a free ride. However, if you're over 40 and not in a doctoral program or a master's program, memory loss that disrupts daily life, difficulty completing familiar tasks. Now, this is very tricky because what people will do as it becomes difficult, they'll stop doing it. And they won't even notice that they've stopped. Like maybe they used to wax their car and now, you know, it's too much trouble. Those are actually fairly serious signs. Anomia, like forgetting nouns, is a sign, but it's much less severe a sign than stopping doing familiar tasks, right? So you're up there, I'm giving a lecture, and I'm talking about oligomeric proanthocyanidins, right? And a student says, where do you get those? You know, the little things, purple things. And they go, grapes? I go, that's it. grapes, right? That's anomia. You can't remember the name of, you can't remember nouns. That is a sign, but it's not that serious. Challenges in planning or solving problems. So if you used to do the crossword puzzle and you stopped, if you used to read the bridge column and you stopped, if you used to read the chess column and stopped, those are actually relatively serious symptoms because the brain doesn't want to go there anymore. Confusion with time or place, that's pretty obvious. If you don't know where you are right now, we have a treatment for you. Okay. Trouble understanding visual images, like stay schrapp. New problems with speaking or writing. So you write and suddenly you forget words. You're speaking and you suddenly forget words. I don't mean when you're distracted. I mean when you're trying to get a point across. Decreased or poor judgment. You start driving erratically. You start yelling at your neighbors. Withdrawal from work or social activities, changes in mood and personality, and number 11, loss of sense of smell. The single early predictor, the single best early predictor of Alzheimer's disease is the loss of sense of smell for 40 common things. Go on Google, check it out. You'll find a list. I actually have people take their significant others over to Whole Foods where they have most of these things and walk around the aisles, make them close their eyes and smell different products. And if they miss more than a few of those, they're back to get a dementia treatment. That is actually the single best predictor. There are Western medical tests. You can get an electroencephalograph, which will show changes in brain function 10 years early. You can get an angiogram, which will show changes in blood flow. The APOE4 genotype also is important. But the biggest is sense of smell. Go try it out. Yeah. Okay. Now, this is quiz number two. Symptoms in this country, in the United States, there is a confusion between the words common and normal. And where that most takes place is in a doctor's office. Okay? It is never normal for a woman to have breast tenderness before their period. It is not normal for women to lose their memory when they go into menopause. Those are not normal. Those are common in the United States. And this is really significant because when people go in for headaches, for example, if you have a headache more than twice a year, that's a significant symptom that there's an underlying problem. Now, in our culture, we've been trained by thousands, millions, literally, of ads that all you need to do is pop an Advil, pop a Tylenol, which, by the way, both increase dementia risk. But you pop those drugs, and your headache goes away, and it's okay because it's normal. It is never normal. More than two headaches a year, that's not normal. Same with these symptoms. So I want you to take a look at that list, those 11 things, and I want you to check how many of those symptoms do you have, right? I'm not going to ask you for a show of hands because I can see you back there cringing. But here's the deal. You know, most people take a lot better care of their car than they do of their bodies. You know, most people, if that little red light on their dashboard goes on and says, check your engine, at least within a week they're going to go check their engine. When it comes to health care, oh, yeah, I interview patients every day. Oh, yeah, I've had pain in my chest for the last 2 years. Is that abnormal? I don't know. Did you have it before 2 years ago? Right? Oh, I have headaches twice a week now. Is that normal? I don't know. Did you have them when you were growing up? Probably not. So, again, please pay at least as much attention to your health and dementia prevention as you would to your car. Really, you're worth more. Well, I don't know what you drive, but... Now, Chinese medicine, Western medicine gets very involved with minutiae. And I don't mean that's bad, but that's their focus. They're looking at the telomeres. They're looking at DNA. That you're totally gene mapped. You notice that actually hasn't affected the death rate? It hasn't. It has affected the longevity rate. We now die younger in the United States. We are, depending on the year, we rank between 29th and 50th. 50th in longevity. You know how much money we spend for that? We spend more than double on health care what any per capita, per person, than any other country in the world, and we're number 50 in health in longevity. Women are were 33 this year, and the infant mortality rate is 39th. Okay? A lot of that is because you've been told that things that are common are normal. You got to get over that way of thinking. We live with things that we shouldn't, and we die with things we shouldn't because of it. So, three major things that we're going to look at for dementia. Trauma. Now, I'm talking here mostly about physical trauma. Stress that affects your hormones. This can be trauma from the outside or stress that you're creating. And then pollution. Now, most people don't think about pollution in terms of dementia. It's a huge factor, in dementia. It's been proven in countless studies. Okay, repeated head trauma from sports. All of these activities carry a much higher rate of brain deterioration. You've seen Muhammad Ali, maybe. He can barely function, barely move. This happens to almost all boxers. Almost 100% develop those problems. I used to box. I'm a little worried. But it's a really a known risk factor. Professional football players, there are hundreds now of lawsuits against the National Football League and against helmet manufacturers because the rate of dementia amongst retired football players is so high. The suicide rate among retired football players is off the charts. The homicide rate is off the charts. And in almost every case, when they look, they see trauma-induced dementia. So soccer's a big one. Headers, especially with little kids, because they don't know how to do it correctly, huge cause of trauma. So all of those people have much higher rates of dementia, but then it could be a singular brain trauma event, motor vehicle, slip and fall, snowboarding's classic, horseback riding. Every horseback rider I see is a mess. And none of them will give up horseback riding. It's like, you can see me once a week or give up your horse. Can I see you twice a week? Right? That's it with horseback riders, bicycle accidents. Okay, children have over 10,000 falls on average that jolt their brains, over 10,000. Okay, so now I'm going to go on to number two, which is stress. So again, I'm whipping through this pretty quickly, and I'll save time for questions. You all know the word stress, and when I interview people, I'd say about 10% of people actually accurately gauge the level of stress they have, or at least close. You have to understand that everybody in this room has dramatically more stress than the average person did living 200 years ago. They were worried about food and maybe about famine or war. You're worried about relationships. You're worried about kids. You're worried about parents. You're worried about Alzheimer's. You're worried about chronic disease. You're horrified about money. The level of stress, the amount of information that you process in one day is more than they processed in a lifetime. I mean, look at, you know, just go to the typical cafe and watch these 17-year-old kids with their laptop, their phone, and their iPad, right? And they're processing. People didn't do that. So the level of stress that you have is dramatically higher than anyone, or not anyone, but most people ever experienced. Also, again, the polluted world. So, now, most people don't have any idea how many chemicals they're really legally and illegally exposed to. This is a nightmare, an absolute nightmare. This includes illegal drugs, legal drugs, and chemicals. By the way, some of the biggest causes of dementia are prescription drugs. SSRIs, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, which are given out like candy for depression, dramatically increases Alzheimer's risk. Statin drugs are off the charts for increasing Alzheimer's risk. Do I have that on here? Well, I'll get it to in a minute. Dwayne Graveline wrote a book called The Thief of Memory. He was a NASA astronaut and a flight surgeon, went on statins and developed total global amnesia. So fortunately, he came out of it. Many people don't. So big problem. Okay, so let's start with looking at three solutions to the problem. I just put that in because I like the picture. Here are a few facts about your body. This one is mind-blowing. 2 million red blood cells die every second. Can you hear them scream? 2 million. Now, just while I was in that pause, 10 million blood cells died. That means 10 million new blood cells are being created. Can you imagine the brilliance that has that occur? Okay, they make 250,000 round trips around the body before they return to the bone marrow, et cetera. That's not the whole picture, but that's a big factor. Heart beats 3 billion times. In Chinese medicine, actually, there's a way of thinking that you're all born with a certain number of heartbeats and don't waste them. You know, that's not accepted by everyone. It takes about a minute for the red blood cell to circulate through your entire body. Now, what's the good news about that? The good news is you're replacing 2 million red blood cells a minute. That means you can make radical changes to your health in a minute. Okay? Now, you multiply that over a week, a month, over the 2 months that we're looking at here for some of the blood sugar related diseases, and it becomes obvious why type 2 diabetes can be reversed in 100 days. We do it all the time in Chinese medicine. Now, I never tell doctors that because they think I'm a lunatic, but we regularly reverse diabetes in 100 days because in 100 days you've had a complete turnover of these red blood cells, right? That's part of the reason. Okay. You don't need those. How many capillaries? Your brain has about 100 billion, remember that was a lot of zeros, neurons, and its job is to keep you in total harmony at all times. So that's 166 times the number of people on the planet. So a lot of potential, it's why you can heal. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about how we can restore normal function to the body. This is where the Chinese stuff comes in. Thanks. So the Chinese discovered, it says here, 3,500 years ago. Really, that's when the written account started. Now, one of the things that makes Chinese medicine so powerful is that they've had for 2,500 years an uninterrupted language. There are very few places in the world that have that. And they had a system of medicine that has been professionalized for a couple thousand years. And so you had this group of incredibly brilliant investigators, scientists, and then they were training future generations on top of that for 2,000 years. And it was all written down. Where many cultures have had wonderful herbal traditions, the Mayas, the Aztecs, many people in the world, they mostly were lost. The Chinese weren't. Now, this says 3,500 years ago. We know that acupuncture was practiced at least 6,500 years ago. How many of you remember when Ötzi, the Iceman, the guy they found in the Alps, right, Ötzi? And about the third time they pulled him out and started studying him, someone there said, hey, you know, these tattoos, these are right on acupuncture points. And you see these lines that are connecting them? Those are Chinese meridians. So they brought in an expert, and he said, yeah. And this is what should be wrong with him, and they were dead on. So Ötzi, living in Switzerland 6,500 years ago, was around somebody who was practicing acupuncture or what we now call Chinese medicine, although it wasn't then because he was in Switzerland. 10,000 years ago, we have a statue. I don't, but there's a statue of a woman called the Malta Woman. And she's a woman that is, in that moment, giving birth. And it's just a mud statue, you know, the typical voluptuous woman giving birth. But embedded in the key acupuncture points that you would use at exactly that moment of delivery are precious stones. So I'm going to guess these people knew acupuncture in Malta 10,000 years ago. So this is really old stuff. Now, what happens in the United States, because of who controls information, we have been told, many of us, that acupuncture is a folk medicine. Nothing could be further from the truth. Chinese medicine is not, there's folk medicine in China, just as there's folk medicine everywhere. Acupuncture and herbal medicine is absolutely not a folk medicine. We discovered, we being Chinese medical doctors, about 2,000 locations on the body that by stimulating those you can change the energy flow, which by the way is quite measurable. You can go to your hardware store and buy an ohm meter, which measures resistance, and it will plot out the channels and it will tell you where the acupuncture points are. Because acupuncture points and channels are the areas of the lowest resistance to electromagnetic flow in the body. By the way, a trigger point, if you have a point that hurts, trigger points are the areas of the highest level of resistance to electromagnetic flow. So if you want to get out of pain, you turn a trigger point into an acupoint, and the pain goes away because you get free flow. Now, in looking at some of the science, the world's number one rated stroke hospital, and of course stroke being highly related to dementia, the number one hospital, as reported by the World Health Organization, is a hospital in Tianjin in China, run by Dr. Shi Juiming, who was one of my teachers, and they have a 98.5% post-stroke recovery rate. And that the methodology is called the Edinburgh Scandinavian Scale, and it's used for any type of stroke care, what you would get here in a Western hospital or you would get anywhere. He has the highest rate of post-stroke recovery using acupuncture almost exclusively. They use a few herbs, but almost exclusively acupuncture. Highest rate of post-stroke recovery. I have four major studies on my website, actually five now, major studies showing how acupuncture will treat atrophy of the brain. Because one of the significant things that you will see in dementia patients, if there's Alzheimer's, you'll see plaques and lots of blockages. But one of the very common things you'll see in dementia is that the brain shrinks. Okay? Now, that'll shrink with high blood pressure. It also happens with low blood pressure. People with low blood pressure have about 2% brain shrinkage because they're not getting enough blood to their brain. Right? Five major studies that I found just very quickly showing that acupuncture increases brain size. And size really does matter when it comes to your brain. Trust me. It's all about size. All right. This definition you don't really need. It's really all of the organs, tissues, and glands in your body need to get those massive numbers of red blood cells carrying oxygen to them. If that doesn't happen, you're in deep, deep trouble. The science. 17,000-plus acupuncture studies on PubMed. The NIH has approved, which is National Institutes of Health, have approved acupuncture about 15 years ago. World Health Organization says it's the best. California Workers' Comp endorses it. The Army, these wacky, crazy, new age people, the Navy, the Department of Defense, and the Air Force is now training their doctors to do acupuncture in the field because it is the single most effective treatment for post-traumatic stress disorder and phantom limb pain in the field. And they love it. Department of Defense loves acupuncture. ICD-9, the International Code of Diseases. When you go to your doctor, the way that you get reimbursed is they're going to put a code, your ICD-9 code. Okay? Now, we're now on ICD-9 going into ICD-10, and that's where you look up the codes. ICD-11, the World Health Organization, has put in 800 acupuncture and Chinese medical diseases, not headaches, not irregular periods, but blood stasis, liver depression, qi stagnation, wind cold attack. These will actually be legally defined diseases in the ICD-9-11 code. So all you acupuncture students, I want you to applaud that one. All right. Huge, huge. There are two guys at Stanford that are now compiling that. Once they get that compiled, it will come out. We'll have ICD-9-11. Huge breakthrough. So pretty much everybody agrees it's scientifically proven, except maybe your doctor. But he'll tell you something. I'll tell you something. They may not be sending you for it, but they're using it. More doctors and nurses, a higher percentage of doctors and nurses, seek traditional Chinese medical care than does the general population. The general population is about 50%. Medical doctors and nurses are at about 74% of them seek traditional Chinese medical treatment. You know why? Because they know what they use doesn't work for chronic illness. It works for acute illness. They know that what we have works for chronic illness. And so they're coming in droves, but they may not send you. Sorry. Okay. So acupuncturists are trained to locate where the blockages are through a combination of pulse diagnosis, tongue diagnosis, abdominal diagnosis, reading labs. I order Western labs all the time. and looking at MRIs, et cetera. So we'll use anything we can because we want to see where these blockages are and we want to reverse them. This is just a little thing for the acupuncture students. Most people don't realize the level of training that acupuncturists go through. For me, I did 4 years as a master's program and 2 doctoral programs, so that's 8 years postgraduate. That's not really very unusual. So these people are very, very well trained. And they're taking anatomy, physiology, all the classes that all your other providers are taking. More than 2 billion, remember that's a lot of zeros again, right? Lots are using acupuncture for their health problems. Okay, so it's really like having a kinked water hose. If your hose is kinked, you're not going to get blood to your brain. If your hose is kinked, you're not going to get blood to your kidneys. So it's all about blood flow. If it isn't getting there, that all of the nourishment going to your cells is in the blood supply. And if you kink a hose, you can't water your lawn. So we're the de-kinkers, all right? So anyway, you've got to get the blood to move freely. So we look for the areas of blockage. We strengthen the immune system. We balance, harmonize, and integrate the functions of the organs. Okay. Stress. Since normal functioning nervous system makes one become susceptible to stress, let's take a look at how it affects you. So this is a heightened response. That's what stress is. It's a heightened response. If you live near an airport and an airplane goes over and you don't even wake up, you don't even wake up, your blood pressure will go up an average of 15 points while you're asleep from that. If there's a jackhammer outside, your entire nervous system goes into high-speed overdrive, and your immune system drops out. It takes way less than a tenth of a second for you to drop out of the autonomic nervous system, that really cool, relaxed, groovy state, right? It takes less than one-tenth of a second if there's a perceived threat for you to drop out of that, and it may take you an hour to get back into it. And healing mostly, other than blood clotting, mostly only occurs when you're in that autonomic nervous system state. While you're in a high sympathetic nervous state, when you're running away from the tiger, your body doesn't care about fighting a flu virus. And most of you are running away from tigers all day long. See, the advantage of running away from a tiger is it's a finite event. You either get eaten or you get away. But you're going to run either way, and running burns off those stress hormones. For you, sitting behind a telephone, being in school, dealing with the stresses of life, if you got up every time you had stress and ran around the block, you'd probably be okay. If you don't, those hormones are staying in your system, and they are called catabolic hormones. That means their job is to tear down your tissue and use it for energy. Okay? It's exactly the opposite of the anabolic steroids that bodybuilders use, which build muscle mass. Catabolic tears them down. Every time you get stressed, it is literally destroying millions of brain cells. Millions of brain cells. There's a lot of information now about adrenal glands. I'm not going to go into that a lot other than for you to realize this is critical. You've got to do something to restore the function of the adrenals. Now, Western medical testing will only tell you if you're about to die, right? You have Cushing's disease or you have Addison's disease. It's either you're normal or you're going to die within weeks. There is no in-between. Now, naturopaths, osteopaths, acupuncturists know there's a huge range in that continuum, and we want you to be maximally sufficient in adrenal function. Most of you are grossly deficient, and I'm looking here at the front row mostly. Again, Advil increases, high Advil use increases dementia risk by 60%. High homocysteine levels, which you would have from having high stress or being deficient in B vitamins, increases dementia risk by 200%. Heart disease, someone that develops heart disease increases dementia risk by 84% in the latest study I saw. So all of those inflammatory problems push people into dementia. I love this picture because this is how most of my patients walk into my office, right? It's looking just like that. Now, we're talking about relatively normal stuff. Now, this is more aberrated, right? And again, the adrenals then kick in. 70 to 80% of all visits to the doctor are for stress-related illnesses. Heightened stress levels are 4 to 5 times more likely to have a fatal heart attack or stroke. I want you to read that. 4 to 5 times. People in the top quintile, top 20% on a stress survey. You go to a therapist and they give you a little written survey. People in the top 20% have 6 times the rate of developing diabetes in the following year. And here we got 4 to 5 times more likely to have a fatal heart attack or stroke. 50%, that's really low. That's a government statistic. It's really more like 90%. By the way, the number one condition treated in the United States with acupuncture is anxiety. I just found that out. I thought it was pain. It's anxiety. I thought I had a weird practice. Nope, I'm right in the mainstream. Also, this study, NIH study, and there have been several since then, we look at PTSD, the big diagnosis now. Most people in our culture have low levels of PTSD. It's when what will happen, if you're chronically stressed, even when you're not stressed, your adrenal glands don't go back to normal function. Now, that's not what PTSD is, but for you that are stressed. So even when you stop being stressed, you go out to the movies, you have a hot date. Well, actually, that would be very stressful. But you go out to the movies, you're taking a nap, your adrenals don't go back to normal. That's really frightening, okay, unless you do something about it to get them back to normal. I'm going real fast. All right, we'll leave that. Oh, this actually, I do want to mention one thing. Alzheimer's disease. It doesn't just kill the people that have Alzheimer's disease. There was a study done a few years ago. It was a brilliantly conceived study. They took a group of people who were going to be the caregivers for recently diagnosed Alzheimer's patients, and they took a control group of about the same age. And they measured their telomere length. Now, telomeres are the ends of the chromosomes, and it's the most direct way to measure biological age. You got frayed telomeres. It means you don't replicate things well, and that's a problem. You have really good, healthy telomeres. It's really good. Okay, so they measured the telomere lengths. They were the same on average. 10 years later, they drew blood again. The control group had aged about 10 years. The Alzheimer's care group had aged 20 years. So this isn't just killing the people with Alzheimer's, it's killing everybody that cares for them. That's really scary. I'm not going to get into how to store the adrenals now. Third factor, chemical toxicity. This is a good number. If I can get it again. Okay. It says that any new compound must be tested for any ill effects before approval only, and only is the key word, if evidence of potential harm exists. How do you know if it has potential harm if they haven't used it? So this is a ludicrous thing. Oh, you know what? I want to go back one more. No? Okay. I think I have this in here, but if I don't, there are 84,000 chemicals that you can now come in contact with, they're in daily use, that didn't exist 100 years ago. Fewer than a quarter of those have ever been tested for safety. Of the ones that have been tested for safety, many hundreds have been shown to be toxic, Alzheimer's producing, diabetes producing chemicals. So again, that was the toxics, the legal drugs I mentioned before. Oh, proton pump inhibitors. So people just taking antacids. Right, antacids does about 250% increase. That's a lot. 250% increase in dementia risk if you take antacids daily, and that's proton pump inhibitors, and even the H2 blockers are a problem. Now, for osteoporosis, it's about the same number, but the H2 blockers aren't as bad. So things that you take twice a day, but if you're taking the purple pill once a day, you have 250% greater chance of developing dementia. And again, very long list. Food. This is a book you might want to check out, What You Don't Know May Be Killing You. And he's looking at the 3,000 chemicals, 10,000 solvents, emulsifiers that are in your food supply. And by the way, so if you go to a major grocery store, chain grocery store, not Whole Foods, but one of the big chains, you can find all 10,000 of these in most of those stores. Many have been proven to be deadly. Most haven't been tested at all. Water, they are upgrading all of our water standards because our water supply is so deadly right now. If you drink tap water, God bless you. The level of hormones in our tap water, the level of E. coli infection in our tap water is high. Men that drink tap water have over double the prostate cancer risk. Okay? Very, very dangerous stuff. I'm not even going to get into the air now. But this study, very important. This one is just makes me want to cry. Environmental Working Group. If you're interested in getting information about the environment, check these people out. EWG, Environmental Working Group. And the assumption was that unborn children would come into the world unsullied by these chemicals. So they did a series of studies. This one, 180 chemicals that cause cancer in humans, 217 that are toxic to the brain and nervous system, and 208 that cause birth defects. This was found in the cord blood of infants. That means they hadn't been exposed to the world yet. This is the blood that they were getting while they were still in their mothers. That's why when I treat fertility patients, we do massive, massive detoxification. Otherwise, this is the result. Kids born with hundreds and hundreds of chemicals. And we tend to overlook that. You know, it doesn't really make the nightly news. The murders do. The deaths from this stuff doesn't hit the news. Okay. Then you don't need that. Liver, I'm not going to go into now for lack of time, but herbs, just so that you know, herbs for liver depression, in China, a condition that we identify in Chinese medicine, are the number one and number two highest selling herb formulas in the United States, not in other countries. Here, they're number one and number two because our livers are shot because they have to take all those chemicals out. So your blood flow and blood pressure are in jeopardy if you have a congested liver, and that's Western physiological as well as Chinese. If you have portal vein hypertension, which is from the blood supply not moving from the liver well, it takes massive amounts more pressure to push the blood through, and that's a major cause of high blood pressure, is a toxic liver. Okay. And so when the liver and the kidneys can't take this stuff out of the blood supply fast enough, it shunts it to different areas of your body. Fat being number one. This is one of the most critical things for fat loss. I get so many patients that are on 500, 1,000 calorie a day diets. They exercise like crazy, particularly women, who cannot lose weight. It's because the body needs the weight to protect them. Because when you lose large amounts of weight, like 10 pounds or more, it releases so many chemicals into your bloodstream that those chemicals can be detected 10 years down the road. 10 years. That's how long those stay in your system. So please do not do a fad-based diet program. Work with someone that detoxifies you, gets those chemicals out of your system because they get stored in the fat cells. If the fat cells dissolve, those chemicals go back into your bloodstream. So you've got to detox when you do a diet, a significant diet. I mean, change, you know, lower your calorie intake, eat smaller portions, all that. But I'm saying if you're going on a significant weight loss plan, you have to detox. So solution to pollution is nutrition, nutritional supplements, and herbal cleanses. Again, which I do lots of stuff about that, but we're not going to do that today. So these are the things you need to do. You need to repair the damage from the trauma, rebuild the adrenal gland function, nutritional cleanse of the body, acupuncture to restore proper balance of systems and the blood flow, and Chinese herbal medicine to diminish blood stasis. This is the entire point of the talk. All this has been preamble. This guy, Yan Dexin, wrote this incredible book a few years ago called Aging and Blood Stasis. Now, in Western medicine, there is a new theory every week about everything. I mean, things change overnight. You know, 1 week you're supposed to eat eggs. 2 weeks later, you should never get near it. There's always a new theory, right? Chinese medicine changes every few hundred years. Okay? Very slow because it's a simpler system. This guy completely changed the Chinese idea of the cause of aging from kidney deficiency to blood stasis. It's all about getting the blood where it needs to go. Now, again, in Chinese medicine, we can just look underneath your tongue. If you have engorged purple sublingual veins, you're in deep trouble. That means you have platelet aggregation. The red cells are actually sticking together like caramel apples. When that happens, they can't get through the pipes, right? The proximal cause of death from almost all chronic diseases is blood stasis, cardiovascular disease, stroke, diabetes. People don't die from high blood sugars. They die because they get insulin resistant, which causes inflammation, and because there's so much sugar in the blood that coats the red blood cells, they actually stick together. And when that happens, if you've ever seen a photomicrograph of blood going through the eye, you think there's going to be this flow. It's not. It's like red blood cells are going boom, boom. In fact, those tubes are so small that those red blood cells that are shaped kind of like pizza pies have to fold in on themselves to be able to go through the tubes. So if those blood cells stick together, they can't get through the tubes. That's why people go blind from diabetes, why their kidneys go into failure, because you have the same small blood vessels, and they get peripheral neuropathy because those small blood vessels don't allow those sticky blood molecules to get through, or blood cells to get through. So blood stasis is the primary cause of aging. It is the primary cause of dementia. So how do you prevent it? De-stressing. You've got to have, in this culture, you've got to do something. You can do meditation, yoga, tai chi, qigong, long walks in the park, put on binaural beat, CDs, something. You've got to de-stress at least once a day, but you should be doing it many times a day. Sleep. People who sleep less than 6.5 hours per day have dramatically higher rates of Alzheimer's disease, and other forms of dementia, heart disease, and about 3.5 times the rate of developing diabetes in the following year if they sleep less than 6.5 hours. Diet. Again, that's too much to go into right now. Physical exercise. People in the lowest quartile of physical exercise, the quarter that moves the least, has 300% higher Alzheimer's risk. Now, tell me, is it worth taking a half-hour walk to reduce your Alzheimer's risk by 2/3? Say amen. Amen. All right. Okay. Really, really. That's what you're looking at. And people say, I don't have time to do that. Well, you'll have plenty of time when you get to the rest home and you're in hospice care and you're killing your family. You'll have lots of time to take those walks. Of course, you won't remember, right? So take the walks now, okay? Supplements. When I do the longer presentation, which is about an hour and a half, I have list after list of supplements that you can take to restore brain health. It's really, the literature is very, very, very clear on most of these supplements. And Chinese herbal formulas are at the top of the list. Okay, I guess she's going to throw me out. Okay, obviously everybody's different. Pick someone that you like. Go to a naturopath, an osteopath, a functional medical doctor, or an acupuncturist, and get checked out for your personal condition and see what your dementia risk is. All right? So thank you. Be happy. May all beings be happy. Thanks.
So with supplements that you recommend, what about eating all the right foods?
Yeah, again, I could do a whole thing on it. It's the first time anybody's ever said I didn't talk loud enough. I did a nutritional program here where I went into a lot of depth. Y'all know what to eat, okay? Y'all know what to eat. You should be eating 3 full plates of vegetables a day. 1 plate of leafy greens, 1 plate of cruciferous vegetables, which is, if you take all the studies on cancer, on breast cancer, The single thing that causes the most reduction in breast cancer are cruciferous vegetables. And one plate of orange, red, yellow, antioxidant-rich vegetables, small amounts of grass-fed meat or fish, and get rid of the carbohydrates. Rice is okay. Potatoes are okay. Get the grains out of your life. They all increase dementia risk. You must eat organic. You must eat organic because these 84,000 chemicals are in the food supply. If you're eating grass, hopefully you're not eating grass, but if you're drinking milk from cows that are that are not organically raised, then all of those pesticides get bioaccumulated in the milk. And when you homogenize the milk, it gets blown through little tiny holes and explodes the milk molecules. And all those toxins I was talking about all get released into the milk. So you're just sucking down. Every time you have a glass of that white stuff, just figure 84,000 chemicals, right? So you must eat organic. We're just too toxic, okay? That's where to start. Sugars, high fructose corn syrup, by far is not the same as other sugars. It is by far the biggest evil that we're facing.
But, could you get enough of what you're recommending
If you're healthy. If you are healthy, yes. If you are already, like when I get a diabetes patient, it's already too late for them to change that with just diet. I do a whole diabetes program on my website, 2 hours. And I take a guy that I saw that had blood pressure over 200 on medication, blood sugars over 170 on medication, had a foot amputated, and within about 3 to 4 months, he was down into almost normal. He had to lower all of his medications. So you can do it. In his case, he took 50 supplements and Chinese herbs and exercised like a maniac. Okay, so it can be done, but it's like a rocket ship, right? It's trajectory. When you're going up, it takes a very small correction to make a difference of 1,000 miles. When you're coming down and you're 10 feet from the earth, it takes massive amount of energy to even get it to move an inch, right? So what you want to do, right, keep this picture in your brain. You want to change your life before you get to here. Because once you get to here, I'm going to put you on 50 supplements and a bunch of herbs. Here, we can talk about your diet, okay? Save you lots of money.
John, I have a tendency towards dark sublingual veins, inflammation, and low blood pressure. So I'm wondering what herbal formulas are your favorites for those types of things, how they work, also if you would recommend acupuncture, and is that like on the head? How does that work?
For stroke, by the way, most of the points are on the head, okay? There's another fellow that I studied with who, again, it was the only other big change in Chinese medicine in the last several hundred years. He was a Western-trained neurologist and discovered the connection between needling on the outside of the scalp and the effect on the underlying portions of the brain. So for stroke and for dementia, I'm going to do a lot of needles in the head. For most other conditions, not. For blood stasis, not, unless it's already a pre-dementia case and we've got to do it. But we will use acupuncture points that cause the blood to move more freely, but mostly that's going to be treated with herbal formulas. One of Yan Dexin's formula is one that every acupuncturist learns. It's called Shui Fu Ju Yu Tang, or Ju Yu San, either way. And it is move the stasis in the mansion of blood. And it means if you have stagnation through here in the coronary arteries, angina, et cetera, this formula clears that stasis, that blocked blood from this area of the body. There's a related formula called Ge Sha Ju Yu San that moves blood through the liver and pancreas area. There's a related formula called Shao Fu Ju Yu San that then moves the blood in the lower abdomen. And I think I mentioned this. There are 10,000 well-done scientific studies per year that come out of China on herbal medicines. I actually was going to bring something today because people get freaked out about herbs. It's the eight pages, literally, that I can download from my herbal suppliers showing all the substances they've checked for. I think they're like 3 or 4 pages or maybe more of organophosphates and fertilizers to make sure that there are none in the herbs and molds, etc. So these are very, very, very safe formulas. And the amount of research is light years more than is done on a drug. It's not even close. Okay, they're much better researched. So Shui Fu Juyusan would be a place to start. The number one herb, those of you that are concerned, go down to Chinatown and buy Dan Shen, D-A-N-S-H-E-N. Put some in a thing of water, pour boiling water over it, and sip it all day. It's the single best herb to prevent leakage into the blood vessels or through the blood vessels. Okay. Yes.
How do you feel about nitric oxide as a supplementation?
Nitric oxide I don't use directly, but nitric oxide was kind of the magic word in medicine for about a decade. Nitric oxide stimulators, things like Viagra, work to it's a big favorite. really. And because it increases nitric oxide levels, which then heals the endothelium, the lining of the blood vessels. I do that by giving people precursors to nitric oxide, like L-arginine. I use a product called Perfusia because it's timed release. It's astonishing. In 120 days, many high blood pressure patients don't have high blood pressure anymore just from L-arginine. Right? Now, there are lots of other things that will stimulate that too, but that seems to be one of the stronger ones for me. Well, yeah, absolutely. All my diabetic patients are doing L-arginine because the key with diabetes is to keep the inflammation down in the blood vessels from the excess sugar and insulin. So it's right at the top of the list. The other one is natokinase. Natokinase is the single best supplement to keep the blood from clotting. Okay, so if you have thick, sticky blood, natokinase, it's an extract of natto-miso. It's a miso. I mean, how dangerous can that be, right? But it keeps the blood from sticking together. Yes, over there, someone. Oh. Yes, ma'am.
This is kind of simple, going back to simple, but I was thinking about all the points, the acupuncture points in the picture of that body with maybe hundreds of them. So I'm just wondering if there's an impact of good or not good posture and related bone changes, necks, shoulders, and all the rest, on effective acupuncture treatment.
I'm not sure if I understood that, but let me speak about a couple things. One, posture will have a dramatic effect on all aspects of the body, right? I mean, people that have thoracic outlet syndrome, where they have tight musculature in here, we'll often think they have carpal tunnel syndrome because it's cutting off the nerve supply and the blood supply to their hands. If you have bad posture in the neck, it can cut off the vertebral arteries that are carrying blood to your brain, which is not a good thing, right? So, yes, posture has a big effect. Acupuncture is effective at remediating those problems. I wouldn't use acupuncture as a primary modality for improving posture. Now, many people, their posture improves because they feel better. Yeah, I mean, most of us, are exhausted, kind of walking around like this, and you get all peppy, right? So it helps that, but there are other modalities that I would use for the posture itself. Did that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. You, sir, with the interesting hat.
I'm scared to drink tap water, and I'm wondering if there's any other good sources of water to drink that are besides fine water, really expensive filter.
Spring water? From a spring that's well-tested, particularly if it's like an artesian well or something. I mean, most of it's hype, right, because Pepsi Cola gets the bottle out of the water out of the tap, right? And then they steam, they distill it or something. But my first choice is water that's come through the aquifer and has picked up natural minerals for the electrolyte content. My second would be reverse osmosis and or steam distilled, but then you have to add some minerals back, right? Where the advantage of the spring of the deep spring waters and stuff that's going through the aquifer is that it's picking up minerals, and you need those electrolytes. Okay, so again, if you're using distilled, you're getting rid of the bad stuff. You're also getting rid of the good stuff. You need to add a little good stuff back in. Yes, ma'am.
There was a doctor who spoke here last year. Her husband had early onset Alzheimer's.
Uh-huh.
She started giving him coconut oil.
Oh, God, I forgot that. Single best thing,
yeah,
coconut oil, as a preventive. But where you're really seeing the most dramatic things is in early stage dementia. people, you know, that are getting their brain power back in a couple months in many cases. And they're quite, it's a ketone issue. The brain loves ketones. The rest of your body hates them. But those particular fats create a lot of ketone bodies that directly feed the particular cells in the brain that need to be fed. Where sugar, you know, they can't process the sugars because of the diabetes basically in the brain, but they just suck up those ketones from the coconut oil. Number one food for early stage dementia and probably for prevention. We don't know yet, but probably. Yes?
Many of us are on statins, so what do you recommend?
The number one thing you've got to do is take CoQ10, enzyme CoQ10. What happens in this coreductase QA system, which is where statins work, downstream is CoQ10. CoQ10 is called ubiquinone or ubiquinol, depending on its biochemical status in the body. It's named because it's ubiquitous. It means it's in every tissue. It's needed for pretty much every function of the body. It is one of the two things that and L-carnitine that are on opposite sides of the membrane in these energy factories, right? The mitochondria. And if you don't have CoQ10, you can't create energy. That's why most of these problems happen. When the first couple statins came out, they got patents to put them out with CoQ10 in them. Nobody knows why, at least I don't, why they took it out. That's the single most important thing. It's a nightmare. 50% of women report muscle pain and damage. Of those, when they're biopsied, their muscles are biopsied, 50% of those actually have physical deterioration and breakdown of the muscle tissues. With men, I don't see that as much. I see more brain dysfunction in men. I think it's because we're men, you know? That's number one. If you don't want to be on statins, okay, then you need to see someone that can give you supplements to get you off statins. It's really easy to lower cholesterol. In most people, particularly women, menopausal women that go on statins die at a 10% higher rate per year, right? So you just increase death rate by 10% by going on them, right? That's pretty significant. Men, not so much. So there are lots of things that you can do to lower it, but that would be kind of beyond our discussion. Yes, sir.
I also live in the East Bay, as I assume you do. I always thought that East Bay mud water was as good as the bottled water. I gather you don't believe that's true. And my second question is, how many plates do you have in front of you at dinner?
Me? Five.
Five?
Five dishes. I'm now doing the cooking at home. Yeah. My wife, you know, it's like, I'd say, honey, can we have vegetables? And we get a plate like this. And then we did a detox together, and suddenly we had nothing else to eat, so we get these huge plates of vegetables, right? But as soon as we were through with the detox, we went back to that, so I just took over the cooking. So I have at least three vegetables a night.
Any more questions? One last? No?
No?
Going once.
Yes.
You mentioned that the number one thing that's treated for in China is stress, or here is anxiety.
In the U.S.
In the U.S.
Yeah.
Is it because people go for symptoms in the U.S. and in China they think about the cause?
No. In China, people get a lot more acupuncture because it is so inexpensive and it's so much in the system. I mean, if you go to China, they have huge hospitals, like huge 10-story hospitals that just do Chinese medicine. Right, it's mind-blowing when you go over there. So it's ubiquitous. It's everywhere. Here, people just don't. You know, I'll see patients, and regularly they go, "Really, you guys treat that?" Well, you got to figure that was the only form of medicine in China until very recently. So they developed a lot of treatments, a lot of different things. Did that answer your question? Okay. All right.
Thank you very much, Dr. Leaders. Another interesting talk.